Wonderful to be with you this Christmas Eve morning, especially that we can gather together freely, coming together to worship our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and enjoy the benefits that He has bestowed upon us, this freedom that we have, this freedom to come together, to pray, to sing songs of joy, and to enjoy one another's fellowship as we talk about and we go to the Lord, to His Word, to hear from Him, our great God. Would you bow with me just for a moment as we go to prayer once again before we dive into today's message. Our great God and Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word. For your word that became flesh and dwelt among us. For your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we adore. We love you, Jesus, and we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would come now and minister to us through your word. Father, be with me as I expound on this scripture and help your people to hear the very word spoken and to see the glory and majesty of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As Christian tradition points us back to the remembrance of Christ's birth this time of year, it's especially encouraging to go to God's Word and study the events as told to us in the Scriptures. This serves to strengthen us. This serves to affirm and solidify our faith in the God of the Bible. It promises to us by displaying His power in ways unfathomable to the human mind. And today we get to look at some of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ and His incarnation. In contrast, though, and like in every generation, the denial of the incarnation via the virgin birth in our modern atheistic society this time of year also seems to grab traction, as the atheist goal is to actively and publicly suppress the truth. Satan knows this and knows that with a denial of the incarnation comes a contorted view of God, a contorted view of God the Son, and a denial of what God has done and is doing in order to save a people from their sins. And this logically develops into a denial of Jesus Christ Himself. This is especially prominent in our day when secularists insist on supernatural doctrines such as the incarnation to be equated with dimness of mind or intellectual dimness, being that it can't be explained by modern methods of science, etc. Sadly, we see many professing Christians even falling prey to this mindset and being devoured by the enemy of our souls. Saying they believe in God, but they pick and choose verses that suit themselves and that may be twisted or contorted to suit their sin even. Verses that they like to follow because they seem to be easy. They choose to obey those scriptures that wouldn't maybe point out our sin. But I believe that this secular pressure has undoubtedly been used of God, though most certainly, to expose those who claim to be true children of God as unbelievers, even some as heretics or apostates and the like. This manifests itself in ways of intentional suppression of the truth from some who have grown up in the church even, but then rejected it due to their unregenerate state. Others maybe naively rejecting, undermining the biblical authority that we see here in the scriptures. And this is truly because of a lack of faith. The Bible is denied by them as being authoritative and instead is replaced with feelings or social trends or, like I said earlier, modern science. Might I warn, however, that to deny the authority of Scripture in any place, and in this case, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, is to deny Jesus Christ himself. And if you deny Christ, it is clear that you have not known Christ, or even rather been known by Christ. And therefore, you will find yourself lost. But, I love that word, but. It is because of God's love and mercy that I so desire to come to you this morning and hopefully unfold God's wonderful, beautiful plan of mercy through this chain of events that God used sinners like you and I to bring about this incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. So let's start. I just want to start in the first verse of the first chapter of Matthew and take a quick look at the genealogy and set the stage for the coming king. When we look to Matthew 1:1, it says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Abraham was the father of Isaac. And then it goes on, and in verse 6, "And Jesse, the father of David, the king, and David was the father of Solomon." I'm just going to stop right there. So it's showing Joseph's lineage back to King David through his son Solomon. And then we go into Luke's gospel, and we see in chapter 3 that Luke gives us a genealogy of Jesus Christ as well. And it's flipped on its head. It goes backwards. It goes from Jesus back even to Adam. And I just want to point out a couple of things here. In verse 23 of chapter 3 of Luke, it says this, "Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli." Let's stop right there. Now, this genealogy, Luke is taking Joseph again and saying he was the son of Heli, and we know by studying it out that Heli, or Eli, was the father of Mary. Okay? Now, he lists the son-in-law here, but Joseph, being the son, as was supposed, is meaning that he has adopted Jesus as his son. So he's the rightful, legal father of Jesus Christ. But this Heli is the father of Mary. So this is tracing back the genealogy of Mary. If we look into verse 31, the son of Melai, the son of Mena, the son of Matthiah, the son of Nathan, the son of David. So Mary comes through, down from David, through his son Nathan, whereas Joseph comes through Solomon, both from kingly lines. So our king appears on the stage, his genealogy from both parents from this kingly line. And this, I hope, is just helpful to structure for us when we think on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ from this kingly line. So Matthew 1:1 shows us that. Both in Matthew and Luke's genealogy is traced back to David, Mary's lineage, Joseph's lineage. And then we start into verse 18. Now you would think that the writer Matthew might stop right in verse 16, and that would be good enough. He says, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. Wouldn't that be enough? But no, he gives us in verses 18 through 25 this plan unfolding. This plan being revealed, if I may. This plan being manifested in full view of the people of God. What God had spoken of in history, revealed dimly through covenant promises of old, was now coming into sharp view. And one such example we find in Micah. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says this, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." So we see this pre-planned plan of God prophesied, and now we're seeing it coming into fruition, into full view. So a king, a ruler was to come out of Bethlehem, this scripture is telling us in Micah. The city of David, as the Bible refers to it. So it was coming to pass just as was spoken of. That a king would come from of old, from heaven, from ancient days, from before time even began, God ordered this or decreed this to come about. So now we see exactly how it came about here in Matthew's writing, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. I want to spend a wee bit of time here on that word betrothed. Back in the days when Jesus Christ was born, being betrothed was basically, understandably, married. It was understood that way. The engagement would take place by mother and father choosing your spouse. That was the engagement ceremony, basically. And this being betrothed would be the pre-yes by both parties. What we would assume as being engaged today, betrothed here was locked together. They're married. All that's really had to take place to put this into reality was you would accept your wife. Okay? Simple as that. So here we see that she is betrothed to Joseph, and yet the scriptures say she was found to be with child. Now it does say from the Holy Spirit. We know that, but did Joseph know that? Not yet, and we're going to get there. But let's go over to Luke chapter 1. Come with me there. And we're going to take a look at what happened to Mary and glean from the scriptures this really encouraging miracle of conception and what God did in bringing about this plan. So Luke 1, 26 through 35, I'll just read it here. And we'll look at a couple of verses from it. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, and here's that word again, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Again, notice the house of David, this kingly line. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Notice Mary is even bewildered here in verse 34. "How will this be?" she says. "For I am a virgin." And the answer from the angel, the very word of God, says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the what? The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now that we've seen this wonder-working power in Mary, let's go to verse 19 here. And see this wonder-working power in Joseph as well. The Word of God says this in verse 19, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." So word had come to Joseph that she is with child. What would come to Joseph's mind right off the bat, obviously, is here I've been betrothed to this young woman whom I've said, yes, I want to be with her for the rest of my life. And you find out, and we're assuming here, either found out from Mary herself or by way of someone else, we don't really know that, but he finds this out. What would his first thoughts be? Well, his first thoughts, obviously, because it goes on to say that he was resolved to divorce her, would be that she has committed an act of adultery or fornication with another man. And so we do see in Joseph here that being that the law in their day allowed for the divorce being because of the hardness of heart. And so Joseph's considering this, and he's even coming to the point where he's resolved. He's a man of integrity, though, and he wants to do both. He wants to follow the law of God, and yet He doesn't want to publicly shame Mary because he thinks fondly of her. And so what does he do? He thinks to divorce her quietly. So just quietly divorce and be on their merry way both ways. And then we see in verse 20, we see Joseph's patience paying off. It says, but as he considered these things, I'm going to stop there for a second. As he considered these things, Joseph wasn't rash or instantaneously thinking that he ought to do this right this second. Joseph was thinking on these things. He was taking his time. And I would even like to propose that he was praying to God during this time. He's distraught. He's thinking, what has gone on here? And God, in His mercy, in His goodness, in the keeping with His plan unfolding, sends to Joseph an angel. Look at this. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So, Joseph now receives this message from the angel. He receives the truth that Mary, no, she did not commit adultery. She wasn't fornicating. No, she conceived because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And at this moment, Joseph's probably in amazement saying, wow, what's going on here? We've heard of the virgin birth in the Old Testament. Isaiah, the prophet's been telling us about that. They've been reading those scriptures in the synagogue. And it causes him to listen. It says this, Joseph is given the purpose now in verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save a people from their sins. Let's stop there for a minute. So Joseph is given this purpose of God in this dream. And can you just think for a moment with me what this might mean to Joseph? How shocking it might be to be part of this plan of God, that in her is conceived a baby from the Holy Spirit that would come to save His people from their sins. What a miraculous thing, what a glorious thing that's happening here to Joseph. And for Joseph to be a part of this is amazing. Let's move on. Verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is making this way to come and be part of this world, to come and to take on human flesh and to walk about this world for the exact purpose of saving His people from their sins. He brings upon Himself human flesh. Truly God and truly man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, comes. He is God with us. We see this exact prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, and Pastor Tim read for us this morning Isaiah 9:6 and 7. But in 7:14, The Word of God says this, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. And then in 9, if I can read those words again, starting in verse 6, chapter 9 of Isaiah, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Of no end will this peace be. The gospel of peace. The fact that Jesus would come, God the Son would step into time and space, take on human flesh, this new nature brought to him. Fully God, truly God, retaining his full deity, the nature of God, the essence of God in Jesus Christ the Son, and yet also taking to himself a human nature and then living about us a perfect life, completely fulfilling the law of God, never once sinning, the sinless Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, came on that day as a baby. He lived his life up until approximately 33 years into his life, where he then voluntarily laid down his life for his friends by taking up the cross, by hanging on that tree. The Lord Jesus Christ bleeding and dying and taking upon himself the wrath that we all rightly deserve for sinning against him. This Son of God who came and took on flesh allowed his flesh to die on that cross. He was placed in a borrowed tomb and then rose again on the third day, defeating sin and death forever for all those who would call on his name. For all those who would repent and believe that the scriptures are true in what they say about the Lord Jesus and about his work on our behalf. The Lord Jesus Christ did it. This plan of God unfolded right here before their eyes and unfolds before our eyes today in the Word of God, speaking about this union of the deity of God, the essence of God with man. There are other scriptures that inform us of this truth. Jesus has always been God, and he took flesh to himself. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He's claiming to be God there. He says in John 1:1-2, the Word of God says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." John 1:14, "And the Word," which is God, "became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is our Lord, my friends. We go forward from there, knowing that Joseph received this dream. And it says, when Joseph woke from sleep, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. He took her. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph, now convinced that Mary was indeed God's instrument to bring his son into the world, receives this message from God. And he responds in faith. Joseph took his wife, meaning he received her now as his wife. They were now seen together. They were living together. And I'm so thankful that God put this in his word. He says, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. God here again in his power, protecting the integrity of his word. That this virgin would not only conceive, but bear a son. There would be a virgin birth take place. And so, protects the integrity of his word by using this man, Joseph, and Joseph responding in faith and in obedience to God. This miracle takes place. It's beautiful. And then this last part of that verse, and he called his name Jesus. You know the name of Jesus, what it means? Savior. His name means Savior. It took place in this way, my friends. God orchestrated this whole thing from eternity past. He foretold it. He planned it. He allowed his prophets to prophesy about it. And then he brought it to fruition through people like you and I that were moved by the Holy Spirit, that saw the Word of God for what it's worth, that it is truth, that it is the life. And they believed that in the authority of the written Word. And they obeyed. They obeyed. And what happened for us is glorious, my friends. Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ, God the Son, takes on human flesh. He comes and he lives and he dies and he takes our sin debt and he nails it to that tree. And we can rejoice in the birth of the Son of God here. We can rejoice because our minds now have been transformed by the power of God through His Word. And I can say right now that if the Word of God has so been sown into your hearts and changed your mind that you want to cry out to Him for this forgiveness that He offers, the forgiveness of sins, it's available for you today. It's available to you this Christmas season. If you've been putting it off, if you've been suppressing the truth, if you've been believing the lie of modern science or believing in your feelings or believing some other lie that Satan has put out through the earth, through wicked men, simply turn. And believe in the authority of Scripture that it is true. That we can believe in this Son of God who came and took on flesh and died and rose again. And that we too might follow in His footsteps and might follow in His example. And might follow because we've been given a new heart and brought into the new covenant, people of God. And if you're here this morning and this message of the coming Messiah has not warmed your heart, even in the least, I fear for you. But if there has been some twinge in you this morning the Scriptures are saying this and I want to believe, then believe. Turn from your wickedness, turn from your sin, and put your faith and trust in the Son of God who came as a babe in Bethlehem, was born in a manger, was raised by Mary and Joseph, and was anointed by God to save His people from their sins. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? Or are you hanging on to your sin that you so love? My hope and prayer this morning was that you would hear from the Word of God and turn and let go of this sin. Drop it right where it is, right today, and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and His wonder-working power to save through the gospel message that you've just heard, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. Believe that the plan of God that was prophesied and foretold came to pass, and that Jesus is the Savior, just as His name states. Can you believe that the Holy Spirit did this work? Then you should be able to believe that the Holy Spirit can do a work in your heart. The Word of God says the Holy Spirit will come and He will take out that heart of stone and place in you a heart of flesh and write upon your heart the love of God. Turn and experience God's love this Christmas season. Turn and experience the love and mercy and kindness of God as you look to the Scriptures, as you see in the Scriptures the Son of God, because there is coming a day where He's going to return and judge the world in righteousness. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and tongue confess that He is Lord. Amen. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And if you're with us today and you know that you're lost, I would just pray. I would just urge you to count the cost. Count the cost and turn now. Now is the time, the Lord says. Today is the day of salvation. Repent and believe the gospel, for He will pour out His kindness to you. He will show you that this babe that came is truly God the Son, who took to Himself human flesh, and that He lives today. Ascended into heaven, He did. He is on the throne. He is King of kings. And He does rule the world. And He's going to come, and He's going to make all things new. And we, His people, are going to enjoy Him forever. Zechariah 9, 9 and 10 says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. His rule is peace." The gospel of peace. Believe today and be saved. Let's pray. Again, Lord God, we come to you in prayer to thank you for your word that is eternal, that has the power to save to the uttermost. And I pray, God, that this quick glimpse at your wonder-working power as you worked to conceive in Mary the very Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, and as you continue to work today through your gospel to bring about new life, new creatures in Christ, we do give you thanks. We do praise you, Lord, for you are doing a work amongst us. Even today we pray, Lord Jesus, come. Be amongst us. Allow us this freedom to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.